Hey, Shipper City, thanks for listening. Before we jump into the episode, do me a favor and consider tapping that support this podcast link in your favorite podcast player. Every little bit helps us stay on the air and keeps us creating the content that you love.
Be sure to follow along on social. We are on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at iShipItPod. You can head over to the website, iShipItPod.com, to sign up for email updates when new episodes are released. And you can send us emails at iShipItPod@gmail.com.
And remember to rate and review us on whatever platform you're listening to, and tell your friends that you ship it. So take a second, do all of that while you enjoy a word from our sponsors.
Thor ate a lot of Pop-Tarts in these fanfics.
It is a hot garbage fire.
Do you not know what sex pollen is?
I mean, Phantom Seed! What?
I don't care. I ship it. I don't care. I ship it.
Hey there, geek girls, geek boys, and geeks beyond the binary. This is Emily J with the I Ship It podcast, your safe space on the internet for fan fiction, fandom, and all that stuff you've been pretending you're not reading on your phones. Good morning, Shipper City. We have a special guest back with us again. We had so much fun the first time, I had to drag her back into Shipper City to discuss current happenings in the fandom world. Her name is Brittany, and last time she was here, we talked about Backstreet Boys. Hi, friend.
Hi. I'm so excited to be back. It was so much fun last time. Hopefully, I'm a little less nervous starting out this time, so we'll see
Yay.
How it goes.
Good. I don't bite. It's fun here.
It is fun.
No, I just re-listened to our Backstreet Boys episode and I cracked myself up the whole time. I was like, we're so funny. I can't wait to have her back.
I listened to it a couple weeks ago on the bus, and I was making a spectacle of myself on the bus for sure. But yeah, it was very funny. Hopefully this will be another fun episode for the listeners.
I hope so. I know that you're in a slightly more delicate emotional place, given our topic at hand. I don't want you to feel self-conscious if you have to weep at any moment. I'm here for you.
I mean, I'm not a huge weeper in general, but I have found myself weeping sporadically over our topic of the day. So one can only guess what will happen. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. But I'm just letting you know that I am here for you. If you need to take a break, we can cut it. Just in case.
Well, but, as your listeners know, you have found me crying in the past. We talked about that over the last episode, so we'll work it
all right.
out.
Well, just stay away from the Kelly Clarkson, and it'll all be okay. I promise. Yeah. We are talking about a topic. I did not know you were so passionate about this. Honestly, thank God for Instagram, because I would have no idea. We are talking about Supernatural again this week. And I say again because I've done one full episode of Supernatural, and I've referenced and recommended a million Supernatural fics over the last 2 years. But since last time, my last Supernatural episode was with Cassie, and it was more of a found family, ship free, mostly focusing on the first five seasons episode. I feel like, given that things have just recently finished up and wrapped up sort of in that world. I say wrapped up because I don't feel like that was, I say sort of because I don't feel like that was an appropriate wrap up, but we can get into that. So it's all finished now after 15 years. So I wanted to have an official end of watch party for Supernatural. So how are you doing right now in the wake of the show not happening anymore?
I mean, I'm okay. I think that I'm better off than some people are because I did not watch the entire time. I have a lot of friends because of the age that we were in that started watching it when it first came on television. And I know that they're having a rougher time than I am. But
yeah,
I loved it hard and went all in for quite a while. So it'll be weird to be without
it. How long have you been a Supernatural fan? Because when we first met, that was when it first started airing, and neither of us watched it then. I know that.
I did not at that time, no. I have this really good friend, Amanda, that she and I used to work together, and she has been watching Supernatural since she was 15 years old.
Okay.
And she would talk about it all of the time, and she and I have a very unique connection in that we like everything that the other person likes. Like every book that we ever recommend, like we just really like it. So when she loved Supernatural that much, I was like, okay, I'm clearly going to love this too. We have everything else entertainment wise in common. So I started watching it, and I watched it at that point. There were, I want to say like 10 seasons. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I had to have watched it in a week. It was something insane. Like I just like, I watched one episode and I was like, holy shit, this is so good. And I just kept going.
I mean, props to the pilot, because I remember watching that first episode and being like, are you kidding me? Now I'm in this? Because like, it was immediate. Yeah, I remember that feeling of being like, well, now I have to watch every single episode of this entire show for the rest of forever.
And it's then I just didn't. Good writing, good lore, good characters, good themes, great music. So it just keeps, it hooks you really fast.
Yeah. It really does. They did that pilot episode was a choice. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well done getting everybody to fall in love with it immediately. And obviously it had staying power because it was on the air for 15 years.
Absolutely.
Now the main ship, as we've all talked about a million times, is Dean and Castiel. Mm. Destiel, as it will be forever referred to. Do you consider yourself a Destiel shipper? Yes.
Yes. In a sense. And I might make some of the Destiel shippers a little sad in this, but I never actually thought it would happen. That's
don't
the kind
think
of
you're
shipper
alone there.
I am. Yeah. Like I very much thought like, oh, this is a fun thing that we as fans are seeing, but I never thought that would be canon. At all. I had fun with it, but like I always had fun with it from the perspective of, and this may be because I was older when I started watching it too, mm-hmm. but I loved it from the perspective of like, oh, that's so cute that they're giving the fans that little scene or the beard stroke or like whatever, but never expected anything to happen. Surprised every time it did.
Surprise, surprise. 2020 delivers again.
This is a shitty year.
When that happened, I'm assuming, I think I know the answer to this, but have you seen The Road to El Dorado?
Like the Disney movie?
Yeah, yeah.
maybe a long time ago.
Right. There's a scene there where Miguel and Tulio are sitting in a rowboat starving to death with a horse between them. And Miguel says to Tulio, or one to the other, I don't remember who says it what, but he says, Miguel, did you ever imagine, or Tulio, did you ever imagine it would end like this? And the other one says, the horse is a surprise. And somebody redid it and they said, did you ever imagine Supernatural, or did you ever imagine the world would end like this? And somebody goes, the Destiel is a surprise.
It was.
It was such a shock to see this. And as an outsider, I have not, like I said, I haven't watched Supernatural since I want to say season 10. I got very behind and then I just kept saying I would catch up and then I never did. And now I don't know if I want to, but seeing it as an outsider, I logged on to Tumblr and I was basically like beaten to a pulp with Destiel posts and people losing their shit about what had happened. And I was like, they're like, it's canon. Oh my God, it's canon. It's finally happening. I'm like, there's no way it's canon. That's what? That could never happen. But here we are. The Destiel is a surprise.
It is. And I think one of the reasons I was so thrilled by it becoming the surprise was because the thing about them that I always loved so much is the way that they loved each other. Like, yes, this is a show that's essentially about love, but yes. I feel like the two of them were so difficult for people to understand, other than maybe like Sam or Jack, people who got really close to that inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
But they always understood each other and they always saw the best in each other, even though they were kind of difficult personalities for everyone around them. And I feel like it really, for me, started out in this really strong, deep friendship that maybe neither of them ever would have realized at first, because obviously Cass, with his whole the pizza man thing, like, he didn't understand anything about freaking humans. So right. Why would he know that he's in love?
Yes.
Like,
pizza man. I was like, what the hell is she? Oh, I remember this now.
Yeah, you remember the pizza man.
I do remember
Hardcore
the pizza
fans
man.
Fans are going to remember the pizza man. It's one of my favorite things about Cass ever, is that moment. And then I feel like Dean, first of all, never thought he'd have anything. And then when he did when he did think he'd have anything, it was kind of just like whatever came into his life, which would obviously be the traditional. So I don't think either of them would have realized that until it kind of like beat them over the head. And then Cass was just like, well, allow me to be the bludgeon. And it was the best. I loved it. I watched that scene 15 times. I mean, it hurt to watch it that many times. Right. It was kind of like self-flagellation, but I loved it.
Loved the pain.
Yeah.
So we talked about this before we started recording. I would just like to reference the fact that this show is over and you had sent me photos of yourself crying.
Yes.
While watching it. And I was reminded that this is not my first experience with experiencing a show ending with you. When we were in college, there's when the OC finished up in 2007, I want to say.
That makes sense for it to be 07. It might have been 08. I don't remember.
It was either,
we started watching when we were juniors in high school. Because Jesse made me start watching it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to say, well, no, it was 07. Do you know why I remember? It was 07 because Ping had that other apartment that we went to.
Oh, yeah.
And for the funeral.
Oh, the funeral.
the wake. For the OC.
Oh, my God. I'm such a fucking drama queen.
But you weren't by yourself. I mean, I was not into the OC.
Sure.
But Ping was, our friend Ping. I feel like I can call her that because that's not her name anymore. But our friend Ping and Briz mourned the OC like very loudly.
Oh, yes.
And dramatically. And they wore all black. I think, Briz, I think you had a veil.
I did have a veil. I bought a stupid hat from which I affixed a black lace and veil.
I was hoping I didn't hallucinate that. You did have a black hat with a veil on it.
I absolutely did. And like elbow length black, like satin gloves.
It was so dramatic. Liz and I like were basically there tasked to like make food for the mourners. while they watch the last episode. So Britt, you know, loving a show so much that she had to mourn and that she had a very, you know, intense emotional connection to the show is not super new from what I hear.
It's not at all. I love shows hard. It's the only way I know how to go at it. I mean, do you want me to share with your listening audience what I shared with you before about my history of show love?
I do.
So when I was a small baby, I was born in 1987. So the story in my mother's home is that I watched Full House my entire life. It was the first baby I ever saw was Michelle Tanner. And then when they ended that show, when I was 8 years old, my mom brought me into her room, sat me down, laying the groundwork for how freaking dramatic I'd be about television for the rest of my life, showed me the article in the newspaper, because this was before the internet, kids, in that way, like to show me that Full House was ending, and I was so distraught. She let me stay home from school. I stayed home from school the last episode of Mr. Rogers, another incredibly important show to me. Obviously, I mourned the OC with a literal funeral. And now Supernatural.
So, honestly, I feel like Supernatural is kind of a chill. It's kind of a chill mourn compared to
a chill mourn.
What I know of you in the past. So I
let's hold on to the fact that that's because I've entered my third decade that I was able to be a little bit more chill in this show. And like, you know, with I was nine or younger.
Yes.
With my previous experiences and with the OC, I was a teenager.
It was peak emotional instability on all of our parts.
And my frontal lobe was not even yet fully developed. So true. The consequences of my action, i.e. photos of me mourning a television show existing for the rest of my life, did not yet exist for me.
But these photos do exist, and I am very much going to look for them and possibly put them on our Instagram. So I've been given permission, by the way.
Yes, I totally approve of that. I would love to see them again. I would love your fans to see them again, or your listeners to see them again. So, I'm down.
So hopefully we can share those, because if nothing else, the detail to Britney's costuming at that point was just clutch. So,
yes.
All right. So with that in mind, can you now, as I knowing as you do that I did not watch the season finale or the series finale. And this is not the Destiel portion, because I know that happened two episodes before the finale. It was like the Destiel thing. Then this basically what I read, not that I think it's acceptable the way they did it, but what I read was it was like the Destiel episode, and then basically the next one after that was like what they considered the season finale, and then the episode after that they were like, okay, now it's the series finale, and they didn't want to tie them together. So can you just explain to me how this whole series, how they decided to wrap this up?
Sure. So I think because I know this is another show both of us love, I think I'll use the Buffy analogy of the big bad.
Mm-hmm. Please.
So with 18, there was the, you know, may he rest in peace, the Destiel ending. Yes. With 19, there was the conclusion of the big bad storyline with Chuck. Mm-hmm. And then 20, from what I have read prior to it and before, was kind of like a harken back to the classic Supernatural episode. Like that's what they were calling it in the writer's room as a way to kind of say goodbye and wrap up the series.
Okay. But they
that's my understanding.
They did not a good job of it from what I,
I mean, what I heard. I have a lot of strong feelings about it. I'm wondering if there's any part of it that's related to COVID, because I know that COVID changed some things.
Yes.
So I'm willing to believe there might be a little bit of that in there. That's to blame for how
some
it ended.
Leeway. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, it certainly wasn't exactly how I would have envisioned saying goodbye to these characters, though there were a lot of things that I did think rang true to what I always anticipated seeing.
Okay, so question first, is it true that Dean was killed by basically like a hook or a piece of wood?
Remember how I've
not
told
a monster.
You remember how I've told you that I have that big long text chain with my friends?
Yes.
I can even send you it. I could even like block out the names and send you it for the Instagram or like however you do stuff. But I think there's at one point that it's just me in all caps in that text chain saying, is that a fucking nail? Because I didn't even know it was happening. Like it happened so fast and I had no idea what was happening.
Is there no chance he could have recovered from this?
I mean, it was large. I think that like that's what you have to understand. And I think like in a sense where I've kind of come to let that anger go a little bit is like Dean dying in a hunt makes sense. Mm-hmm. And like, we always knew that what they do is dangerous.
Right.
And because he's Dean and he beat God and Lucifer and all of these things, we don't think like, oh, that little thing can hurt him, but that's actually superhuman. And it reminds us that Dean was a human. And unfortunately he just got stabbed like through the heart by a fucking nail. but still he's a human being. He accomplished all those things, and that took him out.
Well, I think that it, like, in that sense, it's like when Joyce died on Buffy.
Yes.
And there's, you know, it's that moment of a human death for a very human character. You know, where there's all of that craziness around Buffy and the house is destroyed how many times and the world almost ends and there's monsters everywhere. And the most human character dies of a brain tumor.
Yeah.
Or an aneurysm or whatever it was, but something superhuman and not remotely, you know, supernatural at all.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun. But yeah, something that like that. I do get that. I like that interpretation. But yeah, it was the fact that it was a nail.
Yeah, it took me a while to get there. I still laugh at all the nail memes. But I think if you ask Dean, like, hey, are you okay with the fact that you went out fighting with your brother, trying to do good, and that you died with your brother holding your hand, do I think that would be meaningful to him? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I think he would also make fun of the fact that it was a nail, but it would still be meaningful to him that it happened that way.
And then I'm told that the car went to heaven.
Yes, the car went to heaven. The heaven scene is where I'm giving like the most of an allowance to to COVID. Because reasonably, I always thought, and I've told my friends this when we would talk about how we thought it would end, I always thought Dean would die on a hunt and that Sam would not die right away and that Sam would get to have a normal life. And I always hoped that Dean, who I feel like was the most alone and felt the most unloved, would finish things out surrounded by the family that he built for himself. And maybe that's what we would have gotten had COVID not happened. I don't know. But
yeah,
for me, the parallel of Dean in heaven alone waiting for his brother to come back for him just put Dean exactly where he was at the beginning of Dean alone begging Sammy to come find John with him. And that just, it was such disrespect to the 15 years of everything that they had done.
Yeah,
I hated it. And I remember I texted my friends in that group chat again, and I just, and I said, Bobby, Cass is here. Dean, okay, I'm going to go drive alone for 50 years. which is what happened. Bobby said, Cass is here. Jack pulled him out of the empty.
Oh, and my then God.
Dean got in the car, drove to a bridge.
And we are
supposed to assume that 50 years lapsed because then Sam is on the bridge.
And just drove around for 50 years.
But Bobby also said, your parents live down the street. Their house is over there. Like, there were all of these people in heaven that maybe he would have then saw. But I would feel 95% better about that finale if, like, Bobby would have been like, well, Dean, everybody's here. And then it would have been a montage of Dean going to all of those people.
Yeah.
And that would have been nice. He's waiting for Sammy and Sammy's living his life and teaching his kid and playing catch with his blurry wife. And
his faceless blurry wife.
Who also could have been anyone. Anyone. They could have plugged anyone in there. But like we all know who we wanted it to
matter.
Be.
Yeah.
but anyone. But like he could have been with all of those people waiting for Sammy to come back. I'm sorry. This is such a rambling train wreck. But like
I feel so strongly
about it.
So this is exactly what I wanted, because I knew if I tried to do it by myself or with like another casual fan, I wouldn't, it would be meaningless. So this is actually great pod. I don't care what anybody else says. This is great to me. And I'm in charge here in Shipper City.
The queen of Shipper City.
Queen of Shipper City hath spoken. You're doing great, sweetie.
Okay.
okay. So he waits on a bridge by himself for 50 years, which is a really shitty, shitty thing to do to Dean.
Yeah.
Who I mean,
he's doing
so
it with a
time.
Smile on his face, but yeah. Like,
I mean, and maybe it's not 50 years in heaven time. Maybe it's like 5 minutes.
Sure. Great. Sure. But those are 5 minutes he could have been standing with his husband. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. Or reconciling with his father, whose character they murdered time and time and time again over that show.
Sure.
And I will never forgive them for that. I loved John Winchester, and I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and I hate what they did to him.
Yeah, the whole Winchester clan. I do remember I also texted my, because I know you didn't watch the finale, but Sam, like, you see him live his whole life. He gets a montage. Sweet right. little Sammy. And then he is seen in a hospital bed in his living room surrounded by pictures of his family. And I was like, the only Winchester to go on hospice would be Sammy Winchester. Like, everyone else, it's in this blaze of glory.
And Sam's like, I'm going to ease myself out of this life.
But he was wearing Dean's watch.
Oh,
I know, Sammy. On his in his little deathbed. God, so sad.
His little deathbed. Mm-hmm. This is a completely random thought. It just occurred to me. I could have looked it up. I should look it up. I'm going to ask you anyway, and then I'll probably look it up anyway. But when speaking of Mary Winchester, speaking of the Winchester clan and Mary Winchester, prior to meeting John, so before she was Mary Winchester, the other, like her whole family of hunters, am I remembering correctly that Mitch Pileggi was part of that family?
I don't know who that is.
Assistant Director Skinner from the X-Files.
I mean, I'm not really remembering. Maybe.
Okay. Like, maybe I should just. Oh, because Google's listening to me. It's saying Mitch Pileggi, Supernatural. Was he, in fact, on there? I don't know. Yes.
Well, there you go.
Yes, it appears that he was. Just because I'm rewatching the. The X-Files, and I have this weird new crush on Mitch Pileggi, which proves that I'm in my 30s, because I'm sitting there watching like, is it just me or can Assistant Director Skinner kind of get it? but he played Mary's dad, Samuel, from what I'm reading this very quick wiki. Anyway. That just completely derailed everything. Speaking of other Sams and going out in blazes of glory, I feel like her whole family was killed by monsters as well, or just stopped talking to her. I don't remember what happened there, but there was some dysfunction on the Mary Winchester side of things as well.
I mean, why would there not be? There's just the Winchesters were not a family that screams function. Another reason why Dean, the one who blazed a different path for himself, I really love Dean. I loved Sammy. I'm not one of those, like, I hate one. I love the other kind of people. Yeah. But, like, Dean, I felt the most connected to.
Agreed. Same.
And I think it was largely because of his, like, deep self-hatred. Like, I was just like, Dean, I get it. And I want to fix that for you because I know there's another way.
Well,
but
I,
Kath couldn't fix it, so why could I?
I mean, I feel like you know, with your extensive training, could have at least helped facilitate the Cass and Dean togetherness, so that Cass could have helped heal Dean faster. But no, I agree. I love Dean. I only ever wanted him to be happy and to like
Me too.
Feel like I never wanted to like force Dean to settle down, but I wanted Dean to feel like he could stop.
Sure, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
I wanted him to feel like he could choose.
Yeah.
Which was another reason why that all kind of burned with the last episode, because it was like Dean's whole purpose was like, we're going to kill God so that we can choose, like, and we can live our life. And he chose to run himself straight into that pole and
straight into that nail.
It's like, without God, there's no one who's pulling you back into the narrative. Like, so you're just donezo now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it kind of makes me sad that like at the end, like Dean just got, I mean, not just, but like most all of Dean's life, like he was just fighting and he never got to stop fighting.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
well,
I mean,
he did in heaven. He wasn't fighting there.
for 50 years
on a bridge with his baby, his car.
His car. Oh, Christ. What the hell? Okay, so since we talked about the finale, Also, I've been told that the wig that they put Sam in at the very end was not a good hairpiece.
Oh, it was not. No,
the old man makeup was very bad.
I mean, he looked like just very young with like confusing hair choices.
He just looked like Jared Padalecki in a bad wig.
Yeah, like there was like not really, I don't feel like, aging of any of the rest of his body or frame. Like he did at one point seem to struggle a little bit sitting down, like kind of like an kind of moment.
The bare minimum of acting he could have done to portray his age.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I've seen clips of the hairpiece. It's not a good one. It's not a good wig at all, which is interesting given the costume budget and the makeup budget that this show should have had for its finale. Bought exactly one pair of boots and two flannel shirts for Dean in 15 years. So kind of thought there might be a little more wiggle room in the budget for hair pieces, but what do I know? Not a producer. Okay, so now that we know how the series ended, there is some Destiel stuff that we should probably iron out. Because before we get into, you know, the next part of our Supernatural discussion, which it is a two-part, I'm pretty proud of how I managed to structure this. So keep me on track.
I'm proud of you, too.
Thank you.
Just prepared. As soon as you said Destiel that time, I felt my chest get a little tight. But we're hanging in.
We're hanging in, and we might be able to get through this next part before you start crying. But so there's some what's the word I'm looking for? Some discourse, I guess, some disagreement in the Supernatural foreign markets as to how that Destiel scene actually went.
Yes, I've heard of this.
So the rumor is that, well, and in the English version on the United States or on the American, in the American markets, when Castiel says, "I love you," Dean doesn't say anything back, which is, I think, very in character for Dean. But they do stay on Cass's face. They stay on his face, which is good because that's his moment and it's his final monologue, you know, whatever. But they stay on Cass's face. Now, I've heard whispers that in the South American premiere of this episode, while they're staying on Cass's face, the translation comes up and meaning that Dean said he loved Cast as well. I don't know. And everyone's like, they cut that out because homophobia, blah, 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 conspiracies, all this other stuff. I don't know that that's the case, but I do want to hear your thoughts on this because there are people who don't believe that it even happened.
I mean, I've seen the like the cell shots that from the translation. I don't necessarily think that happened. I would like to believe that at this point we are not as homophobic, particularly on the CW, as we've been in the past. I don't think that would have been cut out for that purpose. I don't think that Jensen or Jared or Misha have an issue with anything like that. Like that, I just don't believe it. I don't believe that would have existed and been cut out because homophobia. Do I think it would have been possibly existed and cut out because they decided they didn't want that track for the story or something like that? Because it made it more difficult to explain why Dean didn't go to Cass, because I'm fairly certain that everything up to the last two episodes was filmed pre-COVID.
Right.
And that's where they had to make the changes. And so I'm thinking perhaps Dean would have gone and found Cass in heaven, or Cass would have been there. And if Dean had reciprocated the love, maybe it would have been harder to explain why that didn't happen or something. If we are looking for an explanation, sure. Uh-huh. But I'm more likely to believe that it just didn't happen at all.
I'm also more likely to believe that it didn't happen at all. Just from my 10 years of knowledge of Dean Winchester, he doesn't seem the type to be met with a life-altering declaration of love and immediately be able to return it.
Oh, no way. It would take him about 75 years to be like, what the hell? I'm not love worthy. Like,
and then, I mean, so I
like,
saw
a ton of that.
I saw somebody do kind of a more critical analysis of Jensen's facial response to Castiel's declaration of love, in saying like why it wasn't it wouldn't have it didn't why this Spanish translation why this reciprocation didn't happen, like, because if you look at Dean's face, he's doing Dean confused, which, you know, and yeah, confused and hurt and upset and scared, but it also kind of looks like he's fighting. This is what this person said. I didn't think this, but they said, you know, it also looks like he may be fighting every possible like homophobic slur from spewing out of his face. Like, he doesn't look like he's about to say, oh, I love you too.
I agree.
Like, that's just not how he was acting. So I don't think that he said that. But one of the screenshots of your conversation that you had with your friend while you were watching, you know, after the Destiel thing happened, and then Cass was sucked down into super hell or wherever he was sent. The empty, which sounds like super hell to me.
It is super hell. No, it's super hell. Like super nothingness.
Super nothingness. Okay. It's not even hell. Because they have an established hell in Supernatural, and this is not where he went. He went to not even hell.
Yeah.
But you were saying you guys were going back and forth, like, but they're husbands. And as soon as you told me this, all I could think was like, ellos son esposos. No. Pero ellos son esposos. Just of us screaming in Spanish.
Oh, man.
So there, you know, if you are holding out hope that Destiel is, you know, somehow reciprocated on the air, there is a Spanish translation out there for you where it apparently happens. But I can't get too hard of evidence that it was ever something that was supposed to air. Seemed like somebody just kind of having fun at the computer.
I mean, reasonably, they gave me no hope for Destiel being canon the entire time of the show. And so the moment they gave me Cass's happiness confession, it was all I wanted from that. I was like, okay, you dangled it in front of us, and then you dropped that fruit right into our mouths. So I'm standing here and I'm going to wait.
I'm just going to wait. Got all day.
Although I do have to say that I'm supremely happy that Cass's moment of sublime happiness was much better than Angel's moment of sublime happiness. To bring it back to Buffy,
which, by the way, you and I are totally going to do a Buffy episode one day. I think it's adorable watching Buffy now as an adult and watching Buffy as a teenager, and how when I was like 13, I was like, oh, Angel's moment of sublime happiness came because he was with Buffy. And then I was like, no, actually, Angel's moment of sublime happiness was just a very flowery way of saying that he came. Oh.
But Cass's moment of sublime happiness really was just being allowed to love someone, to say
that he loved Dean and to tell Dean his truth. And I think that is actually quite lovely.
It's so beautiful.
So much better. So much better than Angel's.
I know.
Oh God, they had to say perfect happiness so much in that series, and it's just like they all must have known.
It's just, imagine how many bloopers there are of people trying to say that. Because they know what it means.
They know what they were trying not to say because it was the WB in 1998. Oh my God. Oh, good times.
So good.
Next time you come back, we're talking about Buffy and Angel.
Yes, I want to a lot. That would be great.
Yes, that aspect of the Whedonverse. But from a fan perspective, now this is the whole, once upon a time, we were going to do a meta episode of fandom that acknowledges fanfic. And I couldn't find the fix to support it. So that didn't happen. But Supernatural has historically done a really great job of engaging with their fans. They have actually next to Star Trek. And I mean, they're among one of the biggest fandoms ever in the history of media. They have like their fan conventions and all of this, like they do like tours and all kinds of crazy stuff just for their fans. I know there's a big joke on Tumblr that in like 2012, the Supernatural fandom was so intense and so vibrant and thriving on Tumblr that it was almost like impossible to not be a fan of Supernatural and be on Tumblr because there was just so many fans on every single post and they made it unbearable. I don't know.
Yes.
I didn't get a Tumblr until I was 20 in 2014. But so you've been a fan for a while, not the whole time, but a while. Mm-hmm. How much do you engage with the fandom?
Not as much. I've never gone to a convention, though I thought about it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends who engage pretty heavily in the fandom. I mean, mm-hmm. I definitely have people I've known throughout my life that I am closer to because I started watching Supernatural. Okay. And they were already so deeply enmeshed in the fandom. But mm-hmm. I never really did anything like that. Like, I have some clothes. I watched a lot. I've read a book or two because of how much I love it. But the whole kind of engaging in that way, not as much.
Okay.
And I think that may just be the age I was when I started getting mm-hmm. into it.
Yeah.
And it's expensive, that too.
It is. I mean, yeah, no, to be like a hardcore go to conventions, buy all the merch kind of fan, it's very expensive. I'm trying not to look at my shelf of Captain America shit that I've purchased over the last 5 years because I'm sure there are plenty of bills that I could have paid with that money and I chose not to. So is there anything like in the time that you have engaged and the people that you've met or become better friends with because of Supernatural, like, is there anything like about this show, about this fandom, about these fans that you find like that you don't find elsewhere? Like, is there a lot of it, like less, maybe less infighting or, you know, discourse? So like, is everybody kind of in agreement on things? What has that experience been like for you in the limited amount that you've engaged?
So what I think that I can say most honestly about the SBN fandom, and I actually took some notes to the questions that you wrote this time, so mm-hmm. I'm going to be looking at those a little bit. And I'm sure that you could say that this is true of a lot of other fandoms as well, but I think that particularly the SBN fandom speaks really powerfully to the outsiders, like people who don't form connections very easily and mm-hmm. can often feel ostracized from more popular society. And I feel like there's such a deep message ingrained within the series that it's what you earn in your life is entirely dependent on the way that you love and your attempts to be the best person that you can be, to fight for what is right and to give as much as possible while never taking more than what you need. And I think where I have really engaged in the fandom is what the actors and the fans have tried to do for the betterment of society. I mean, Jared is very open about his struggles with mental health, mm-hmm. and he has organizations related to mental health. And I remember this one really beautiful moment at one of the conventions where there was like a candle being lit for mental health awareness through mm-hmm. his organization. And all of the fans in the audience surprised him, and every single one of them had candles, and they mm-hmm. were like holding them up, and Jared was crying and Misha was crying and taking pictures of it. And Jensen looked like he maybe wanted to cry, but was like, no,
but he's too dense and he couldn't cry.
Yeah. But like that kind of stuff, like the way that they've, all of them have made t-shirts to donate monies to things, like have really tried to use the force of Supernatural to make the world a better place, which is so true to the message of that story. Like mm-hmm. there's so much bad crap that happens and we can't control it, but we're going to fight as hard as we can. And that's what the family of Supernatural does. And that's what they tried to do within their own community. And I think that's what's really special about it, that it's the community is almost bigger than just loving a television show. It's about yeah. really wanting the message of that television show to be utilized to make the world better. And that's really powerful.
Yeah, it totally is. That's an amazing answer. Well done, Briz.
Thank
Full
you.
Marks.
Thank you. Thank you. It's,
I didn't know what I was going to get with
answer for you.
I didn't know what I was going to get when I asked that question. So I'm floored. Thank you. That was beautiful. So while we're talking about their acknowledgement of their fans and how passionate they are and kind of utilizing that force, there are two episodes that come to mind, and I don't know if they did a third in the final 5 years that I didn't watch. But I know that there are at least two episodes where they acknowledge the fanfic.
Oh, yes.
And the shippers uh-huh. of the fandom. The first one is the episode where they find out about the Supernatural books, which is when we first get introduced to Chuck.
Yes. Who
I loved way more at the beginning than I did at the end.
Same.
I think that was kind of the point. mm-hmm. Where they acknowledge the Supernatural books and the fan base that follows. And I remember watching, cracking up, because I was not writing fic at that time. This was during my hiatus where I thought I had to be a grown up who didn't write fan fiction. And mm-hmm. Sam was online and he was like, he said something about Sam/Dean. And Dean was like, what does that mean? He's like, what, like us together? And he's like, no, I mean, like, it's like slash. So it means like together, like a couple. And like Dean just looked so horrified. He was like, they know we're brothers, right? And he's like, apparently that doesn't seem to stop them. And like Dean just like reaches out and closes the laptop. He's like, you're done looking at this.
Yeah.
So there's the shipper, which I do remember my favorite part of that episode being when they go to find Chuck to tell him to stop writing the books. And he just thinks that they're like rabid fans. And they're like, no, we're really them. And he's like, yeah, I mean, you guys really have committed to that look. And they both like pull their shirts aside to show their tattoos. And he's like, wow, you guys are really committed. and it's making me very uncomfortable. But then there's also the musical episode, which I don't know that you get to be a decade long running amazing television show without having a musical episode. So I'm really glad that everybody's decided to go that route. Mm-hmm. Was there another one, or was it just those two?
I mean, there's a lot of them that I think kind of have. Well, the meta episodes and the fan mm-hmm. fiction episodes, there's a lot of them where they kind of do that. I mean, there's the episode where Sam and Dean are in the Supernatural television show where they don't talk about the fans as much, but that kind of like mocks mm-hmm. the whole experience. But I mean, right. I think you kind of touched on the two best ones. The musical mm-hmm. is my favorite. I actually watched it in preparation for filming this episode. I watched it again.
The musical it had no business going as hard as it did. There are songs from that episode that I will listen to forever.
Yeah.
I think that that music that they wrote for that episode is gorgeous.
It really is. And just the Carry It. On mm-hmm. My Wayward Son cover that they did mm-hmm. was beautiful.
Yep.
The scene of Dean reacting to discovering it's a musical, one of my favorite such scenes a good, of Dean.
Oh, such a good take. Such a good take on Jensen's part.
The little tiny Destiel moment where, like, Dean very angrily goes up and fixes the tie that the cast character is wearing because it's not how Cass would wear it.
So
love
soft.
That moment.
Such a soft boy.
When the Dean actress and the Cass actress are dating and Dean like cannot function with it and looks angrily at the camera.
I love the and when the is it the director? Mm-hmm. The student director was like, when Dean's trying to explain that he and Cass are not together. And she says, well, yeah, but I mean, you can't have subtext without S-E-A. He's like, stop.
So mad.
He's so mad because he's so in love and he's not able to say it. But so there are some debates. Some people don't like those episodes, but you are a fan. Yes.
Sure. Yeah, I like them. I guess I can understand why some people might not like them, but I always found it was really funny. But yet again, I have a history of liking things like that, like the Buffy musical episode. Like I've always liked that kind of stuff that kind of goes outside of the box and and finds a fun, creative way to tell that story. And I think that they did them in such a humorous manner.
Yes.
That I just laughed the hardest at some of the scenes that came about because of those episodes.
Well, and it's so refreshing when an entity doesn't take itself so seriously, like, especially, I mean, Supernatural can be a very, very serious show.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I have cried very hard watching a lot of episodes of Supernatural.
Yeah.
And the times when they get to be silly, and they get to, and the thing is, what's so great about, especially about Dean, is that Dean himself is never silly.
Mm-hmm.
So the best kind of comedy is always when the person involved is playing it straight, so that you can see how ridiculous it is as it happens around them. Like,
yeah.
Jensen Ackles, say whatever you want about his acting, he never winks. During those episodes, like, there's no break whatsoever. He's just like, yep, I'm experiencing this with all of the horror that Dean Winchester would have for discovering that my life has been turned into a high school musical at an all-girl school. Like, that's like his weird worst nightmare, and he plays it exactly the way it should be played.
Absolutely. Of course he does. And still gets like so jealous and so mad that Sam is everyone's favorite.
Yes.
Like, just so well, like his emotions are just constantly like barely controlled. And I think that's what I appreciate about him, that like whatever way he is feeling about things, he goes hard at them.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, trying to pretend like he's never had an emotion in his life. Like, please, we see you, child.
Right. The fact that anyone could ever... I've seen criticisms of why people don't like Dean as much as Sam. They're like, oh, he's so stoic. I'm like, what episodes are you watching? He's not stoic at all. He's fighting every single emotion that comes through his body.
Yeah.
Like, he's fighting to stay stoic and to pretend that he's stoic, but he does a shit job of it.
I know.
Like, he has more feelings than anybody on TV.
I know.
Just never gets to express them.
My poor sweet Dean.
Oh, poor Dean. Oh, I'm so glad that that Dean is also your favorite of the two. I like Sam too, but I was always a Dean girl.
Yeah, of course I like Sam.
Yeah.
He's smart, he's kind, he's passionate, he has a very strongly developed moral code, but I love a damaged bad boy. I will always. I just want to give them cognitive behavioral therapy. And
I love a sad boy with daddy issues.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Let me fix you. Let me lose myself trying to fix you.
Yeah.
Please. That's all I want in a fictional character.
Sure.
Who I can destroy my own life trying to make better.
Sure, just so that I can watch him then date his gay angel boyfriend. Like, in
so
this
I can
case.
Watch him get better enough to abandon me and date his gay angel boyfriend who he's meant to be with. Obviously.
What does that say about us?
It the very least explains that we are supposed to be friends.
No, I agree. I'm glad we're not alone.
There are plenty of people who would probably listen to us say these words out loud and be like, "Oh my god, have you been to therapy?"
Are absolutely doubting that I am a professional therapist.
Have you been to therapy, girl? I have been to so much therapy. Do you know how long it took for me to be able to admit this? This is progress, yeah. Right?
I've been to a lot of therapy. I get paid to perform other people's therapy. Still true that I feel all these ways about a fictional character.
And I love a damaged bad boy with daddy issues. Let me love
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. It's just because I know so well what's underneath there. That's why.
There are so many layers.
I can see it.
And if I just love him enough, I
then
will
he can
fix
go
this.
Be gay.
He can go be gay and happy with somebody else. And I'll be fine alone. It's fine.
I'll have him accept himself until I can find the next one.
Oh god. Okay, so we talked about how great it is, you know, when shows can be silly, or when, and you know, different kinds of entities can take themselves less seriously. But are there other shows that you can think of where you think the content would support the acknowledgement of the fandom the way that the Supernatural fandom did for so many years? Like, do you think, I mean, I guess I don't know with other groups that have such a big fandom, if there's something along those lines. Like, I don't know. What do you think?
I struggled with this question when I came to it in the list of questions. And what I really came to after putting some thought into it is I feel like the shows that do best support that are like sci-fi fantasy-esque shows.
Okay.
Like Buffy, Star Trek, Game of Thrones, this Supernatural, like, and I don't know if that's because of the people that gravitate towards those kinds of shows because of the capacity they possess to love fandom. But like, I could never see, like, I'm trying to think of any other show, or like, you know, superhero stuff. I could see doing that as well.
Yeah.
But like, I can never see like Dawson's Creek acknowledging fandom that way.
Right. Dawson's Creek.
I don't know. Oh, I was trying to think of something.
I thought that Supernatural was in an interesting, kind of a unique situation where, and there were a few moments in Angel and Buffy that this happened to, where, they were allowed, it made sense for them to acknowledge how ridiculous some of the things that they do and some of the, you know, some of the storylines really are, as far as like, you know, from a broader perspective. I just remember there was one episode of Buffy, I want to say, where Angel was infiltrating a vampire cult, like a wannabe vampire cult, and he was like so shitty about it. He was like, these people are just a bunch of kids, they're just playing around, they don't understand anything about vampires and how they act and what they want and what they're like. And then like somebody walks past dressed exactly like him and just nobody says anything. I think he's there with like Willow and Xander or something, and they're both like, anyway. But like, so there were like little moments like that. But like with Supernatural, I thought it was really actually brilliant how they turned the books into the whole prophecy thing. And then it basically had a you know, carte blanche to acknowledge the fandom the rest of the time, which was awesome. But in that regard, do you think that their awareness of the fandom and how much, especially how much people shipped Destiel, obviously they were aware of it. But do you think that that makes the ending, COVID or not, whatever, and especially the way that the Destiel was handled, as like I've heard, you know, the torpedo version of barrier gaze trope, do you think that makes it easier to handle, harder to take, better or worse? How do you feel that all works together?
Sure. So This is another one that when I was trying to think of my answers, I just started going off on like a tangent because I feel like I feel very emotionally.
I was worried you were going to say you started crying.
No, just very emotionally kind of like discontented by the ending of this show.
Yeah.
And I think that where I felt the most kind of betrayal was that they had spent all this time acknowledging the fandom. And then at the end, it kind of felt they said like, yeah, we're going to give you these little pieces, but at the end, we're going to tell the story the way that we want to tell it, which is about these two brothers being alone. Mm-hmm. And, and kind of doing their best. And I mean, the love between Dean and Sam, the brotherly love, allow me to clarify, is something else I've always felt very passionately about. Mm-hmm. As a person who does have that kind of connection and bond with my own sibling, I did always love the platonic brotherly relationship of Dean and Sam. And I loved the episodes where it would just be the two of them in the car. Mm-hmm. And I loved how much they thought they couldn't really do it on their own. And I do think it was a beautiful ending for Sammy, because I feel like Sam, his past few years on the show. See, now I'm just going off about the ending again. This is what I was trying to do.
No. I feel like just lay it on me. You're doing great.
I feel like Sammy's last few years on the show were very much about like, can I be a leader too? Mm-hmm. Can I not just be the little brother?
Right.
And so I think Sam kind of saying at the very end, like, I can't do this without you. And Dean saying, yes, you can. And Sam having to say to him, it's okay to let go, and it's okay to not be here anymore. I think that was really beautiful and true to the show. And that was the message that the writers wanted to tell. But what became so important to the fandom as fans, I think, was the built family, you not really being alone. And I think that kind of harkens back to the people that are attracted to the show who feel pretty ostracized and alone as it is. And this show became a you're not alone kind of thing. So I feel like it was a betrayal to be that aware of how important the community of Supernatural is to your fans, and then really pare it down to the bare bones of that story. It's both beautiful and true to the fandom, and I think painful and sharp removal from what the fandom would want to see.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I think that their first finale, season five, I don't know. I feel like their first finale did a better job of paying homage to that found family trope that everybody loved so much that the people kept coming back for. In that, you know, and to the love between the brothers, because Sam did sacrifice himself for Dean after so much of Dean sacrificing everything that he wanted and his happiness and everything to keep Sam safe and to keep Sam happy and you know, all of the normal life that Dean kind of gave up because he was taking care of Sam. When Sam sacrificed himself to give Dean a chance at a normal life, and Dean finally got that with Lisa in a brief 45-second scene, which I did love. I did love that. But there wasn't those themes of them still being alone, which is what it sounds like there was a lot of in the final finale, the final.
Yeah.
But you know, I guess that is what it is.
We can't undo that unless they come back and do something else.
We can't
which
undo
they always
it.
Could.
They always could. I know that those actors love each other so much, which is very sweet. And I know that none of them, you know, took this series ending lightly. So I feel like there's a great amount of love from the people who made it, which isn't always the case. Sometimes it gets watered down and it gets like people are just happy to be done and you can tell and they're just kind of phoning it in. But I feel like those core three at least love each other so much that they would come back if they could.
They really do. And I mean, they've talked about it all mm-hmm. throughout, like since the announcement of it. And so coming back in some way mm-hmm. and doing something down the road and like never feeling like they can completely be done with Supernatural. Right. I don't know what that would really look like, but hopefully it would at least show some of that found family coming back into play.
Mm-hmm. So we did read some fics this week. I found one that was written back in the heyday, in the mm-hmm. the prime of Supernatural fervor, before this resurgence, before this renaissance we find ourselves in now. So this was written in 2012 and it's called An Exercise in Worthless, which is a very Dean Winchester title.
I know, I loved it.
By Beast of the Sky. This is actually the first tattoo artist AU that I have ever recommended. And it has, I picked it just because it has the highest kudo count on AO3. So a lot of people who are Supernatural fans probably have read this already if they're Destiel shippers. But I just wanted to give one fic from the golden era, from before all of this end stuff happened.
Yeah,
because it does color a fandom and it definitely colors the kind of fix that people are writing. Transitions from general to fix it real quick. Mm-hmm. But I what did you think of this fic? Because I know that you read the whole thing.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was very well written. I thought that it was true to the characters without the characters being exactly who they are mm-hmm. in the show. Mm-hmm. I thought it was funny. I thought the way that Destiel came to be and the way that they loved each other was very real and true. It was a great fic. I really enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad that you liked it. I mean, the best part of an AU is that you don't necessarily need the source material. That's why I love them so much. I don't feel like I read a lot of original fiction anymore, but I read so many AUs that it doesn't feel like fanfic anymore. This is just a nice story about a tattoo artist who doesn't care very much about himself and doesn't like himself very much, being informed that he is in fact very worthwhile and lovable, and falling in love with a very nice man named Cass. So sweet.
A very nice student of dialectology.
Yes, I did actually really like that part because I was like, there is something to be said for the AU workarounds where we can kind of still include certain aspects of a character's personality. Like I think that Cass is always kind of socially awkward and says, you know, is very insightful, but a lot of people find that off-putting. So him being this student of dialectology and disarming Dean right away by being able to tell where he's from, I thought was really cute.
Yeah.
All right. So then we get into I found you two fix-its.
Yes.
Which I hope helped heal your heart a little bit.
I mean, they hurt so good. We'll say it that way.
The first one I found, I just picked it for the tags. I thought they were great. Some of the tags were finale fix it, 1520. That's the episode, season and episode. 1520 does not exist. 1519 is on some thin ice. It was also tagged Team Free Will Deserved Better, which is a very mm-hmm. popular tag in Supernatural these days. And also soft rescue missions and happy endings, because that's what they deserve and what we deserve.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It was called The World at Large by Cenotaphy. Doesn't matter. It'll be in the show notes. You can read it. Don't at me for mispronouncing it. I'm so sorry. I just tried to read it out loud for the first time 30 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is a fix it in which Dean and Jack, I don't know who Jack is. Jack who's I guess is God now.
So Jack is kind of like the son of Dean and Sammy and Cass. Which is going to be very confusing to you without context, but he's the actual son of Lucifer. So he's like a very powerful being.
Okay.
Like Lucifer in a human, and kind of God in a way.
Okay.
I mean, I can't explain it to you in a way that will make any sense.
No, I'm just going to have to watch it now because
he's an important part of the family, and he's an important character. We'll just put it that way.
And he's very powerful. He's got like godlike abilities.
Powerful. Yeah. By the end, he is very powerful.
Well, he distracts the empty enough that Dean can go in and get Cass.
Yes.
It broke my heart, actually. I got very emotional for someone who has zero context at this point.
Sure.
You know, wherein Cass has been there for too long as far as time moving differently there. And this is kind of the thing in both of these fixes. So Cass has been there for so long that he doesn't trust that it's really Dean who came to get him. And that made me very sad.
Yeah, I'm getting sad again.
Okay, we won't talk about that part. Because they do have happy endings wherein Dean goes back and he gets cast and he comes back and everybody's okay.
Yeah.
And then the last one was called Loud by Castiel's Lost Wings, which clearly we know what this person likes to write. Castiel's Lost Wings. And this was from Cass's perspective inside the empty.
Yeah.
And this one was actually even harder for me to read.
I actually, of the two of them, I liked them both a lot, but of the two of them, Loud was my favorite.
Yeah.
It felt the most real to me, I think.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I felt like Loud could have been, if there had been a fan service side of that story. Yeah. I felt like that one really could have happened easily, kind of on, not easily, but I could have seen that happening in the show itself. If there'd been some more preference to exploring the Destiel before the very, very end.
Yeah, I mean, really, they had the perfect way to do that in the actual show when Bobby says, Jack pulled Cass out of the empty. Cass is here.
And Dean said, cool, I'm going to take my heaven car and drive around. For 50 years.
All I need is my brother and my car.
You know, like we have done every single episode for 15 years. I'm doing absolutely no service whatsoever to my own character arc. Just going to hang out on this bridge and wait for my brother. Yeah. Question for you that I realize I don't know the answer to. When Sam gets to heaven to be with Dean, is he still old and in the bad wig? Or does he get to be young again? Okay, good.
He looks like himself again.
Okay, good. I mean, I'm sure that wasn't difficult to do. He just took the wig off.
Yeah.
Since apparently they did no work to make him look old.
I mean, I don't know if I was Jared, if I would be offended or not by how little effort they thought they had to put into making me look old.
And Jared, you're looking pretty beat down these days, buddy. So just don't do anything about the bags under your eyes, and we'll just roll.
Yeah.
Throw this dollar store wig on.
Do me a favor. Try your best not to sleep before your call time tomorrow.
Just wait. Just go to sleep for like 15 minutes. And then shoot for the rest of the day with this spirit Halloween wig that we found in the prop box. And we'll call it a day.
Yeah, we're pretty sure this is what they used for Doc in Back to the Future. We're not going to brush it. We're just going to...
We didn't even find this in our own stuff. We just went rummaging around in the prop box at the studio on the lot. See what was there. It was a dark brown wig.
The stores are closed. Oh,
It's COVID. We couldn't even go to a Spirit Halloween store. Okay. They were closed. We didn't order online for pickup. Oh my God. Oh.
Yeah, but be that as it may, back to the fix. They really were good.
Good.
And they really did feel like a little bit more of a satisfying ending.
Yes. But
the only way we will survive the actual ending is to constantly make fun of it for the rest of time.
Oh, that's the only way it's palatable. I mean, that's how I feel about Endgame.
Oh, yes.
Oh, what's this? My entire listening audience of 47 people are like, oh, really? We thought Emily was going to not talk about fucking Avengers for 4 seconds. No, it's like, I can't acknowledge how much it hurt me. So I just have to make fun of it for the rest of my life and air out my salt every
that's
so
fair.
Often.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's the only way. It's the only way. We have fandom to lean on. We have fic to read. And I think it just has to be what it was. And we just have to trust the fandom to take over and be like, no, I know this hurt you, but this one will make it better.
Yeah.
And that's all we
can
do.
I guess that's where we're lucky that SPN built such a huge fandom family.
Yes.
That there are just infinite opportunities for us to undo the mess that the writers left us with.
Which is just such a beautiful summation of the nature of fanfic anyway. So I think that
absolutely
was perfect. And I think that we should probably end on that.
I agree.
Because I can't top it and I won't try. So I let my guest have the hottest take, the best take, and we'll go out on top like that. But all right. Well, any closing thoughts on Supernatural, or should we leave it at that?
Thank you so much for bringing me for this episode. That's all I have to say. I love Supernatural. I hope
good.
I did it justice.
And you did.
And
did.
Thank you for wanting to do this episode.
Well, thank you
but
for
I have
coming.
No other thoughts.
Okay, good. That's good, because I don't either. Well, thank you for coming. I am very excited since it crept back into the conversation about 6 different times. I am so excited to talk to you about Buffy next time.
Yes.
I think we'll have a hell of a time. And that'll just be good vibes.
Oh yeah.
There will be no lingering pain there.
Yeah, we're just gonna avoid talking about Joss Whedon whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it'll be all good.
There won't be any reference to the content creator himself. But the world itself will be richly explored. So look forward to
absolutely.
That, Shipper City. Probably in the new year we can reconvene and go from there. But Britt, this was so much fun. Thank you so much. And I want you to have a great holiday season. It is St. Nick's Day, isn't it?
Is it? Oh my God, my grandma's gonna be so mad.
Oh my God. All right, well, now I have to let you go and deal with your angry grandma.
No, she'll be fine. Sorry, Grandma. I was talking about boys making out on TV.
He's talking about an angel. I'm talking about gay angels on TV. I'm sorry, I missed St. Nick's Day. But yeah,
happy holiday seasons to you as well. Jeez Louise.
Happiest of holidays. Warmest regards. I love you so much. I'm so glad we got to do this, and I can't wait to talk to you again. So
absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
All
everybody
right,
else.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful week. Enjoy these fics. Hug each other tightly, virtually, if you need Supernatural related hugs. We're here for you. Mm-hmm. And the rest of you, like I said, have a great time. And as always, above all else, get your shit together.